go ahead and jump into it.
Let's jump right into it.
All right. Is this your first con?
It is.
It is.
Okay. Unbelievable.
I mean, have you gotten out and experienced, or did you fly in?
I haven't. I've flown in. I drove in, and then I've only seen little sights. So this afternoon, I'm going to spend some time.
Did you actually drive?
I did actually.
Yeah. Drive. So what do you drive?
An Audi.
An Audi. Did you run
it's
it?
It's not mine. It's been lent to me by Audi because I don't live in Los Angeles. Which I probably shouldn't let them know that I drove all the way. But it's such a beautiful car that I felt, actually, instead of flying or any other way, I think I thought, yes, that's the way. And had a full car of people as well, so it felt good. I felt not bad. Yeah. Instead of getting a car on my own. So amazing car.
Run into any traffic?
Yes.
Yes, of course. what's your impression of Comic-Con, you know, initially? I mean, there has to be talk around the industry of what this is all about.
My first kind of real understanding of it was last year while I was filming Captain America, and they all went off. They all came to Comic-Con and did a conference, and I got some idea then, you know, from the photos I saw. It seems to me that it's people that are extraordinarily passionate about the things that they love, and they come together. And actually, if I was very passionate about something I love, and it was that much, you know, I'd get to talk to people that you can relate to and have the same opinions about stuff. I think it's fantastic. So from what I can gather at the moment, I just want to thank so much, April. Thank you. I think it's such a wonderful opportunity to get those people who are that passionate about those projects and show them your new projects and sit down, get what they think, and to get that much excitement.
And to get that kind of feedback too, yeah. Mm. Do you geek out for anything? I mean, you mentioned you don't really, you know, is it hard to relate to these people? Or, I mean, do you geek out for anything in particular? Maybe not.
I can always imagine a geek out. I never really have geeked out about many things. I still see, the pleasure in it. I can see why people do get obsessed with superheroes and so on and so forth. I mean, why not? It's just an obsession like any other, and it's good fun. It's kind of, and if you've been looking at those comics since you're a kid, I mean, then you can understand why. One of the reasons I was so excited about Captain America was because of the passion of the fan base and the producers on it, and the Marvel guys who, you know, anyone that knows their craft that well, you're immediately inspired to work alongside.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about Devil's Double. What was your initial reaction to reading that script?
I was trying to really think about what I thought when I first. It was literally one of those scripts where I said, if this ever, because someone was already attached to it, I think, or some there was a reason why I couldn't go in for it. And I was just like, if there is ever an opportunity in which I can be seen for this particular job, then please, please let me try and get me in, involved in it. I don't know what it was, I don't know what inspired me, I don't know what excited me, or even gave me the inkling that I was a viable option to play the son of an Iraqi dictator. But something inside me did, and I chased it, and I found myself in a meeting with Lee Tamahori, and we were very much on the same page about what it should be and who the character should be.
You've mentioned in a previous interview that there was a collaborative effort between you and Lee. How important is that to have that kind of, you know, back and forth?
It's
especially for a role like this.
Unbelievably important. I had to have all my trust in him, and his energy was incredible. I felt part of the team. I felt like my ideas were being explored and listened to. I really, really enjoyed working with him. There was no time. It was because of the small budget we had and
tight shooting schedule.
He was just like a force. It was going down, making spontaneous decisions all the time. Can't use that set. Something's wrong with it. Move. Fuck it. Do it there. No, this is not working. Okay, it doesn't matter. Change it. Change it. Change it. Don't say that. Say it. Yeah, whatever. It was really wonderful, and therefore extremely freeing for me to launch off in these tirades to play this maniac.
Mm-hmm. You've mentioned that, you know, there isn't a lot known about these two people, and that you've kind of had to fill in the holes and fill in the blanks because, you know, you don't want to go on false information, so just fuck it, let's just kind of make it up.
Exactly.
But how do you rein that in? How do you keep it from going way...
That's where I have to trust me. I mean, instinctively and with the trust of the director, I go, look, I've got to go for this. I can't be embarrassed. I can't shy away from it. I've got to go for it. Oh, just absolutely as much as I can. And I can't be frightened. I can't shy away. And therefore, it's his responsibility to, if it becomes too much, to put it back. The truth is, too much. It was never too much for him. I mean, that's the real truth. You read about him and you go, the man did anything. No limitations were set upon him. And he would not care what people thought. And he just... had anything he wanted to, and no one was prepared to say anything or stop doing it. I kind of did the acting like that in a way for him as well. Mm-hmm. Just went, sort of launched into it, and then hoped that maybe, and then sort of had just had moments that I had to deal with more delicately.
Mm-hmm. You know, obviously you're playing two different roles in the same film. Was there ever a moment where you kind of thought, hey, it would be fun to play one role for an entire day and then another role for the next day? Or was the shooting, you know...
That would have been incredible. And I think if we were doing a big budget major film, that would have been the case. There was no way that could happen. If you think about location, logistics of location, you need to shoot a scene, you need to shoot out of that location. So you need to get in and out. And so therefore, we were doing a master shot as Uday, because he was the guy that drove, you know, the driving force in that scene. And then I'd literally be running back, changing, getting into the mindset of the other guy, literally in the space of as fast as I possibly could, to then do the rest of the scene as Latif, finish, mm-hmm. do the whole scene again as Latif. And therefore, he as a director was making spontaneous decisions there and then about which take he wanted to use.
Yeah.
Because I had to match that. I had to match the performance to the one. I had to listen to that performance, and therefore that was the one that I then worked with the character of the team.
You know, you've mentioned in the past that it's hard for you to watch yourself on screen and enjoy it at the same time, because, you know, you're so into this role for a period of time, and then you finally see, you know, the finished product. Was there ever any hesitation, or even after the fact, where you say, damn, I really wish I could see someone else play this role, you know, just to see how you might respond to it in that way?
Yeah, that's a really good point. Enjoy the film without being in it, sort of thing. Yeah, absolutely. I'd be intrigued to see it, actually. It is hard for me to watch. It's even more hard, the fact that I'm in it twice. But I, for the first time ever, I kind of watch it and go, I feel removed from who I am, and therefore I can watch it, actually, and be much more objective about what I do in it, rather than, you know, it's very hard, because it's ultimately you see all your tricks, you see elements of your personality come out. But I hope, you know, my hope was just to make sure the clarity of each of the characters, and making sure that they were very different from one another. And actually, when I look at it, I think that comes across. I can see a difference. The fact that I can even see a difference in the two men that I'm looking at, mm-hmm. is a good indication that it possibly worked.
Cool. So, obviously, how tight was the shooting script, or shooting schedule?
The script itself, Michael is an amazing writer. It's a very sparse script. There aren't many words. It's all very direct and to the point,
mm-hmm.
which I loved. But also, and no one was too precious about it, so I had... You know, scenes like naked in the club on his birthday and stuff, I couldn't stick to a script with that, or where I'm whipping myself and he's gone into a kind of frenzy. It was good that I could just make stuff up,
mm-hmm.
Which was really enjoyable, and again removed the sort of restrictions.
How long was the shoot itself?
Do you know, I should find out the answer to that, because I don't know, but it wasn't that long. It was very short. Someone said 25 days. Yeah.
A lot of nights without a lot of sleep?
Yeah, a lot of nights without a lot of sleep.
I mean...
But it kind of didn't matter, because I was so sort of enlivened during the day, during the filmmaking process, and so much part of it. It's those days when you're like that, and then you just
sit around and do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That you feel like you're falling apart.
Yeah. You know, obviously looking back, when you kind of try and recall shooting this film, is it a blur, or, I mean, are you very, very, you know, aware of everything that you did in this role?
No, it's a blur. It's a blur because it... I mean, I remember it very clearly because it was a very happy time. I was very excited to be doing it, but I can't pinpoint certain moments of it, and I can't. And I look at it now and go, oh, did I do that? When did I do that? But it was such a mad rush, and it was so. I was just about sort of staying sane a lot of the time, and not letting it get to me, not get stressed about the fact that I had no time ever, not a minute, and therefore not a minute to kind of calculate or comprehend what I was doing, no time to just step back away from it. In a way, and again, kind of a gift, because you're just driving, and it was going and going and going, and there was no time for paranoia or worry about what was happening with the performance.
Yeah,
just took
absolutely.
A deep breath, you went for it. It's all you could do. It's a mixture. Very clear memories of it being a really wonderful time, but also exhaustion and.
You know, it's funny because you make a film and then you have to do press for it. You have to get it out there, and once it's released. There's not a lot of times for you as an actor to kind of sit back and watch how it plays out. You're on to your next role, you're on to your next shoot. You know, do you keep tabs on these? How do you?
I don't normally, but it depends what kind of a film it is. You know, I'll pay close attention to this and do what I can to help the release of it. But I'm always. Yeah, you do. You find out. It's important. You wouldn't know if anyone's going to go and see your film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it's... you shouldn't worry about it or get hung up on it. You kind of monitor it, but you don't... I mean, I'm not an average. Like, I don't have someone showing me a per-screen average or, you know, what...
Yeah.
You want it to be just... You don't want it to... fade into insignificance and go. It's leaving the screen is quicker than it's, you know, rather than expanding. Then you go and you feel a bit like it's your responsibility or your fault in a way.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't think you can ever, you know, you've,
but you can
you've
never
done.
Guess it either. That's the other thing. You never know what a public is going to respond to or relate to. I really hope that this film reaches an audience, because I think people will enjoy it.
Well, speaking of, you know, shooting other roles, you're working on Abraham Lincoln right now?
No, finished.
You finished, okay.
Yes.
So, how was that?
I mean, that was extraordinary. Again, it was this working with a visionary, you know, the guy, the Timor makes action sequences like no one else. You know, they're very different. It's a very different take on it now. How he perceives things, how he sees stories being played out. The combination of that genre with, you know, we're learning about Abraham Lincoln. It's full of his fantastic quotes and what he did and how he changed this country and what he did in this country. We're staggered by that constantly. That with the mix of Timor's action, Tim Burton's producing, and it being a vampire film, I think it just makes for a really extraordinary combination, which I think would be... something inside of me that I think would be good.
Working with a director like Timur, I can imagine that he puts his own kind of take on the scripts themselves. Are they very visual scripts? I mean, I'm not sure who wrote the script for this, but I can imagine.
The writer originally did of the book. You're right, though, they're visual. It's a very good point. He works from a visual point of view. You can really see that. And you, in a way, sort of have to But I think he opens your eyes up to realising actually in film quite often more is said with a look than it is with dialogue. So it was a constant, you know, it was again a collaboration and always talking and suggesting, and why he was wonderfully responsive to ideas. He wanted people to come with ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And he changed his mind all the time.
So again, it was that collaborative effort again.
Definitely.
Yeah. And you know, did you get into any of the visuals, or was it just, you know, your character's work, just, you know,
visuals in terms of action,
or, you know, yeah, action or anything like that?
Did I get involved in it? Yeah, I mean, I'm always intrigued by that stuff, so I watched how that played out and how that was all going to look. I mean, there were a lot of fantastic action sequences in it that I was some part of, many of them. So, and just to watch his skill, someone so experienced with that,
mm-hmm.
knowing exactly how it should play. Yeah, but of course. Yeah, fighting vampires in the city. It's great. It's what you dream of as a kid.
Yeah, absolutely. When you got the role for Captain America, you know, obviously with playing Howard Stark, was there something, holy crap, they're going to make a period film out of this? And, you know, were you interested to get in that?
I love that about Captain America. I love that it's somewhat, it's the vision of what we thought the future to be in the past, and it looks really modern and really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it kind of timeless in a way, and I just, and because Joe, the director, comes from a place of design, he was extraordinarily specific with the intricate details of the machines, the mechanisms, the way things work. I mean, I was fixing aircraft that had engines in them, what looked like working engines. The detail of everything is just truly wonderful. And that was really, I loved that about it.
Did you keep anything from set? Maybe a shield? Maybe.
No. You often think about it, and then you think about stealing it, and then you feel then you feel guilty. That's why.
So you had your hand on the shield or something, and then you
There's
thought.
So many cool shields there, and they designed so many excellent shields. Yeah, you stand there with your hand on it, and you go, "Man, this is out of order. Someone's going to get, you know,
fired."
Maybe a few years ago, but not anymore. Yeah, someone's going to get fired, and what joy can I get from that?
Absolutely. All right. I think that's good.
Cool?
For me.